Amen. All right, let me invite you, if I could, to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, an important part of the passion and the vision of this church. Preach a message this morning on loving God and loving neighbor. So I want to invite you to Luke chapter 10. And if I could, let's begin reading verse 25, Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And a lawyer stood up and put him, Jesus, to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" Jesus says, what do you think? What does God's word say? And he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You've answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." Well, let's just pause there for a moment and note something. The context here is, as Jesus begins this little discourse, as we read this in the book of Luke, the context is this lawyer asking about eternal life. This is very important. Eternal life. Now, Jesus could have given an answer that sounded more like how we might answer it. Well, accept Jesus, trust him, repent, or whatever, all those things that are all very important. But Jesus accepts the answer that the lawyer gives. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love thy neighbors thyself. So I think that we have to confess here that that is, in a way of saying, the gospel message. Loving God with all your heart is the gospel. That is the gospel. That is the good news, that God has come down and made it available for us to love him. Now, it's not everything. We know that there's more, but it encapsulates the gospel. It's a big umbrella over the gospel. Does that make sense this morning? So it's a big umbrella. And the answer to this question, what shall I do and live? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, do this and live. What? Do what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That basically, if you're a believer today, that's what you do. You love God and you love neighbor. A lot of churches do a good job maybe at loving God, not so good at loving neighbor. Some churches do maybe a good job at loving neighbor, not so good at loving God. And we want to be a church here that does that well, both of them. We want to love God, and the more we understand and love God, an accurate view of who that is, then we're going to love our neighbor. And the more we love our neighbor, the more we're going to love God. It's two sides of a coin. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. But verse 29, the lawyer then, wishing to justify himself, he says to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Now we're getting to the heart of the matter. Because I believe here Jesus is going to show us some truths about what it is to love your neighbor. What does that look like? We can say we love our neighbor, but God's word defines what that looks like in this parable. And so let's just read this together. Jesus replied and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed on by the other side. And likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, who was on the journey, came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. And he came to him, and he bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put on him his own beast and brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you.' But Jesus said, 'Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And verse 37, the lawyer said, the one who showed mercy toward him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do the same. So I want to pull out a few truths, if I might, in this passage that as a church, we need to be all on the same page as we look at this passage and look at what it is to love God and love neighbor, what it is to serve our neighborhood in a way that Christ would. I want to look at this a few times. But before we do, I would like to pray and just kind of bless this next few minutes, and then we'll continue. Lord, we just ask your blessing over the preaching of your word and what it says. Lord, give us receptive hearts and, Lord, a heart ready to respond to all that you're calling us to. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so verse 29 is interesting. So Jesus says, there's a man who's going down from Jerusalem, and this is the story. This man, we don't know what he was or who he was. All we know is that he's going. This was a common trade route, but it was also called, a route of robbers, or a trade route of robbers, a way of robbers. And often this route from Jericho to Jerusalem would be a route of pillaging and stealing from passerbys. And so every indication here, at least scholars believe, that these men or these people, Jewish people, going up to Jerusalem very likely to go celebrate Passover. And so they have things with them to celebrate Passover. They're on their way. And on their way, they fell among robbers and they stripped him and beat him. And this gentleman, they left him half dead. Not a very good start to a pretty awful story. You can put yourself in this position. You see somebody half dead across the street, and you very may well respond differently than these first two gentlemen. So this is what happens. By chance, a priest was going down on the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite also, when he came into that place and he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So here's what you have. You have a priest go by. This is like the pastor. This is like the pastor, right? The pastor goes by and he sees this man half dead, and he sees him and he doesn't bother to help or do anything to mend this person's real need. He passes by on the other side. And God's word says, and also this Levite, that's more like the deacon or the elder. So the elder walks by, sort of like Bruce. The Bruce walks by and he sees this guy walking, dead, half dead. And God's word in the original language actually very, very importantly says, he actually indicates that he actually crossed the other side of the street so that he wouldn't have to contend with this man's beat up condition and even have to fool with it. So he crosses the street and goes by on the other side. Not very good. And these are the people that should know better. These are the religious people that know the law. They know what God's word says. They're students of the word, and they claim to be, for all intents and purposes, children of God, God's people, the church. And they should know better. And so you have people that should know better, the church, not doing anything to help the community in a time of need. Those that are really, really hurting. And then you have this Samaritan. Now, for the lawyer, who's this Jewish lawyer scribe that Jesus is talking to, the fact that this is a Samaritan does not settle probably very well with him. Indeed, at the end of the parable, he says, Jesus asked him, which of these was the neighbor? And this Jewish lawyer so disdains and hates the Samaritans that he won't even say the Samaritan. He says, the man who shows mercy. So this is some big deal that the Samaritan comes in, because remember, we're familiar with the story the lady at the woman at the well who's a Samaritan. She's worships in the wrong place, worships God in a different way than the Jews. And so the Jews basically considered these Samaritan half-breeds, what they considered them sort of half-breeds. The Jews considered them less and thought they were just flat out wrong theologically. And indeed, probably in a lot of their theology, they were wrong. But it's the Samaritan who does the right thing. Let me make a blanket statement here that your theology is not any indication, shows no indication whatsoever. Your correctness in your theology is no indication whatsoever as to your love for God. Zero impact whatsoever. These Jews, the priests that should have known better, knew the law better than most people. The Levite also should have known the law better than most people, should have had a love for God because they should have understood God better than anybody else. It's these people, the religious people, that were so caught up in how righteous they were that they could not get down and help people that were in need. So indeed, your theology has no impact on whether or not you love God and love neighbor. Or not, it has no play. Hopefully, your love for God and your theology does impact it, but in this case, it didn't. But our theology should play a role, the way that we feel about God and understand God should play a role in how much we serve our community. I think as a church, we should not be allowing, can I just say this in all sincerity, we should not be allowing the church on the left and the liberal side of the church as we know it to outserve us. Okay, we should own the corner market because we understand who God is. We should own the market on service. We should be outserving community efforts. We should be outserving nonprofits. We should be outserving every other church in this community if we mean what we say. And if Jesus has any, if Jesus means at all what he's saying, that the key is love God, love neighbor, then loving neighbor is an important part of the stature that this church should have moving forward. Amen? Amen? It's important. It's not just, well, we're kind of serving and I like doing that. And it goes out and it's good advertisement. No. We're serving because if we love God, then a natural outgrowth of that is a love for neighbor. That's why we do Love Tiffin events. That's the reason why we're serving, you know, sandwiches to people. And even moving forward, we need to do more to meet people's needs. The church ought to be at the forefront of serving people. I know it's hard work. I know once a week, a few weeks ago, we were once a week doing some community service activity in some way or another. Sometimes it means getting out in the cold and it's uncomfortable, but if we're going to be the church that God wants us to be, we're going to be meeting the needs of our community because we love God. And we're not going to allow the church on the left to outserve us. We're just not going to allow that. We're going to be the church that is vibrant in our love for God, and we're going to go and shine that light in the community in Jesus' name. So your theology does not necessarily, theological correctness is not a good measure of our love for God. Let's understand that. So we want to be theologically correct. God's word says, study, show yourself approved unto God. All that is true. But if it's becoming something, if your theology and your theological correctness is the thing that you're proud of or is the thing that sort of defines you, you've got there's something wrong. The thing that defines us when it all boils down to its simplest thing is, do we love God? Do we love neighbor? Do we love God? Do we love neighbor? Do we love God? Do we love neighbor? That's what it boils down to. That's the gospel. We're going to love God because of what he did for us. And in like kind, we're going to love others and be salt and light in a world that is full of darkness. So God's word continues. It says this Samaritan, this half-breed, doesn't know a lot of theology, who was on a journey, he came upon him. And when he saw him, he felt compassion. I think I want to pause there and say that it's that feeling of compassion that is the impetus for service. Now, this is important because we see a need and our heart goes out to people because of their need and we fill it. And we do that in our little sphere of influence. And as a church, we do that with community efforts. But in your life, that means that you have people around you that God has entrusted to your care and have put in your sphere of influence, your neighbors, the people that you work with. And when they're in need, it is your responsibility. They're not just in need. God has put them in your path to help them, to be salt and light and serve them. And so it's not just enough for us to be community-minded. It means that you have to have a feeling of compassion towards people. And I might add that if the church, if that's not our motivation, that we go out. Now, I know people are thirsty out, so we do waters at the farmer's market. Certainly, we don't have bleeding hearts because people are thirsty. When, you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, man, I feel so bad. They're thirsty. They're thirsty. We're going out there and hand out water because we just feel like compassion over these people because they thirst. All right, so that's not, so I think that our heart motive is to bless people and to meet them in a place of need. So we give them water. So occasionally we'll do, we did the cookies and stuff last week, a place of need. We're going to feed them in Jesus' name. When you see people in the community that are struggling, we help them. And so our church needs to not just be about sort of the community thing, it also needs to be individually us being salt and light, finding needs and meeting them. Does that make sense? So we have to find a need. And the thing that begins is this heart of compassion. He felt compassion. I would just want to challenge you, how compassionate are you when you see someone in need? Are you cold and calloused, or are you like the Samaritan who something starts to bubble inside of you and you feel like, gosh, I can help. God wants me to help, and you feel compassion towards them, and that's what motivates your drive to serve people, is the feeling of compassion. And I think this is important, it's important for me, when we go out and serve people, if the motive is to just advertise the church and to put the Love Tiffin sign everywhere that we can, and if the thing is to get to make sure that we have good exposure, if that's the heartbeat, God's not going to honor it. So I have to be very careful about it. We want to be out serving our community, but we want to do it because we want to serve, not because we want to get Love Tiffin signs out and so we can get visitors. If that's our heartbeat, God's not going to bless that. God is not going to bless it. What he's going to bless is us as a church, we individuals in this church, being the kind of people that something stirs up in us when we see a need and we're stirred to the point of not just, well, I feel really bad, let me pray for them. Jesus talks about that a little bit. That's like saying you see somebody cold and say, God bless you, hope you get warm. No, you go get a coat and you make sure they're warm. So a feeling of compassion isn't great if it doesn't move us to meet needs. I'm convinced that the real problem is that most people don't have a feeling of compassion. I'm convinced that we're just callous and we're cold and we have no real sense of urgency in meeting people's needs. We need to have a feeling of compassion first, and out of that comes, I'm convinced that we need that, and then out of that comes not just the feeling, but out of that comes, I'm going to serve. I've got to meet needs. And so God's word says that he had that, right? He had a feeling of compassion. The Samaritan came, who was on the journey, and he came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. I'm going to say this too. I want to add to this. God's word says in the book of Peter that if you see someone in need, do A, B, C, D, and E. We're not as a church, we have to do a good job at reaching our community. I'm all for mission work. Every once in a while, I'll see a video or something like that. You've seen them. You've seen a television program on Feed the Children in Africa or something like that, and I feel bad. I feel bad for that. And then occasionally you see a commercial where they're dogs, and you feel bad for that too. But not so much as if people in Africa. But the thing is, there are needs here. There are needs here. And we have needs in this community that we can meet, that you can meet, that God has for you to meet. And we don't need to I think it's good if you want to give to Africa, that's fine. But what about the stuff that you see? What about that stuff? You have a responsibility for the stuff that you see. And we see stuff all the time in this community. We don't meet those needs. God has to help us to be better stewards of reaching the needs of this community in Jesus' name. And if we do that, I believe God's going to honor our efforts as a church, corporate efforts and individual. And he came, so this is really the point. He didn't just feel compassion. What did he do? Verse 34, and he came to him, and he bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast, and he brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. Does that sound like pretty much a hands-on effort here? Not just throwing money at him. Here, I hope you feel better. This is get your hands dirty and meet the needs of your community and invest in those needs. Not only that, but then he said on the next day he took 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I return, I will repay you. It's a sense of ownership. There's a sense of, I am going to take care of this person's need till the end. And if it costs me money, if it costs me my time, if it costs me my energy, I'm going to take care of this need and I'm going to own it. And I'm going to do it until this person's needs are met. And we actually feel a sense of empathy and enough so that we say, I'm going to take care of this problem. God has this for me to take care of. I'm going to bless this person. I'm going to take care of this need. The real sense of ownership. Now, this is real personal here because that doesn't happen very well in the Love Tiffin event. But it does happen with your neighbor and at your workplace and with your family. How can I take ownership of the needs before me that aren't mine, that are others, and I'm going to take it to the end? And then when they say, why did you do that? I did it because Jesus loves you, and because Jesus loves you, I love you. What a testimony. We don't have to have, I'm all for sort of sharing the gospel with people. I'm for that. But what opens up the door to that is service, is loving people. That opens up the door. Jesus says, verse 36, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? It's very interesting that verse 29, the lawyer is trying to get out of his responsibility to love his neighbor by redefining what neighbor is. He says, and who is my neighbor? He's trying to justify himself. If the lawyer can figure out who the neighbor is and who a neighbor isn't, then he can get out of the responsibility to love certain people and to serve. Does that make sense? Oh, he's trying to justify himself. He asked the question, who is, so Jesus comes back to this question and he says, who do you think the neighbor was? Who do you think the neighbor was? Well, see, the thing that defines that you're a neighbor to everyone that you see with a need. Simple. If God has put that person in front of you with a need, you're neighbor to that person. Does no good to say, Well, maybe he's not my neighbor. Well, Jesus just threw that out the window. You're a neighbor to the person that you see a need of. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? Jesus, this man says, the one who showed mercy toward him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do the same. You know, the church is... See, Jesus doesn't just... Jesus bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Okay, Jesus... We are the incarnational. We are the incarnational presence of God in this community. Okay? God's not going to just bless people. Okay? He uses us to bless people. Okay? God bless you means nothing unless we're willing to be the hand and feet of God to be the conduit of blessing in other people's lives. God bless you goes nowhere if we're not the blessing to others. We are the incarnational presence of God in this place. We are Jesus in this community. And it does no good to placate people and God bless you. No, we are the blessing. We are the blessing. We're the blessing of God on people. And so we say, well, I want to bless the community. I want to pray for the community. Listen, all those things are good, but it means getting your hands dirty and getting your feet dirty and saying, I am going to be salt and light and the presence of God in this community such that it's light and people see it to the glory of God and the presence of God is glorified in this community. And we need it. We need it here. This community is lost. It's lost. We live in a lost community. We live in a community that needs Jesus. And who's going to give this community Jesus? The television? It's your job. How does it happen? It can't be separated. The love of God, love of neighbor can't be separated. You do it by loving your neighbor. And loving your neighbor is defined here as service that is sacrificial, that it takes ownership of the need, that is based on what we see. So God's word says, and he said, the one who showed mercy toward him, then Jesus said to him, go and do the same. Go and do the same. Go and do the same. I love this, and I think it's really so great. And then we're done this morning, but this lawyer has been talking all over the place here, trying to get out of his responsibilities. And what about this? And you know, lawyers do that. I don't think we have any lawyers in here, but lawyers are really good at asking questions and trying to find loopholes. You know what I'm talking about? That's what lawyers do. They find loopholes to laws. That's why it's good sometimes to have a lawyer that you know. To get you out of trouble. Like, I need a loophole. Right? You know what I'm saying? You do? Okay. I hope you don't know what I'm talking about. But lawyers are good at finding loopholes, and this lawyer's been trying to do it this whole discussion. This question, that question, this other thing. And Jesus finally says, listen, enough questions. Enough questions. This is not about talking. This is about doing. Okay? And he just basically ends it and he says, okay, go and do the same. That's a command. Okay, so we have a lot of wiggle room about a lot of things that God's word says, but here we don't. If we're going to be a church, the church that God wants us to be, a vibrant church that's salt and light in this community, then we have no options. What's the plan? The plan is love God, love neighbor. And what's Jesus say? Enough talk. We don't have to talk about it anymore. We've talked about it until we're blue in the face. We've discussed it. We've discussed plans. It's enough plans, enough talk. Go and do. Go and do. That's what God's calling us to do. We've talked about it. We've done it. We've set up the groundwork. Now we're set up. Let's go and do. Go and do. Serve our community. Go and do. Love God. Love neighbor. I promise you that at this church, you are going to find a church where your understanding of God is accurate. We want to paint a good picture, not an Oprah-ized picture of who God is. Hello. We're going to paint a good picture of who God is. We're going to be faithful to teach the Word of God. And we're not going to hold back on that. We're going to say it true. Sometimes it's hard to hear. Sometimes it's like it's a great joy. But what it's going to be is going to be honest and it's going to be true. And we're going to do it in a loving way because we love you. But we're going to be faithful to God's Word. And you're going to have a good idea of what God's Word says. And we're going to paint a good, broad brushstroke picture of who God is, so that you can fall in love with God accurately and not some fiction God that is not a biblical God. Does that make sense? So we're going to do a good job at that. We want to do a good job at discipling you such that you know who God is. And at the same time, we're not going to stop there. We're going to make sure that we love God, and at the same time, we're going to serve our community. We're going to love neighbor. We're going to love neighbor. We're going to serve our community. That's the church. That's the church. And I'm kind of a simple person. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm simple. I like just simplicity. And I love this passage because for me, it's simple. Jesus boils it down so easy for us to grasp. What do you need to get eternal life? Love God, love neighbor. Is there more? Is there more? Love God, love neighbor. Love God, so you have to have an accurate picture of who God is, and then turn around and out of that, the compelling love that you have for God, be compelled to love your neighbor. Be sacrificial in it, own it. And we want to be a church that does that. And I mean it. I'm serious about this. We need to outserve everybody. Everybody. This church. This church needs to be out there serving and loving people. And every time we hand out a bottle of water, we do it in Jesus' name. We do it in Jesus' name. We're serving people, not because we want to, listen, it's good to, I'm all for advertising and all that. But we don't do it to advertise. God will take care of all that. We do it to serve our community. Because that's the call of God on us. The call of God is to love God, love neighbor. We want to be a church that does that well. You on board? If you're on board, say amen. 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 Well, God bless you. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. God, we want to do a good job at loving you. And at the same time, Lord, we want to do a good job at serving our community, loving our neighbors. God, you've defined what that is as the people that we see in need. Help us to be good neighbors. To the end, Lord, that we're a good testimony such that people are compelled to the love of Christ because of the actions and the love that we have towards them. God, help that to be the case. Help us to love just as you loved us. And we're thankful for what you are going to do through this body of believers unified in this passion and vision to love God and love neighbor as ourself. God, help us to be salt and light in this community. We love you today. We ask that you'd bless us and bless our church. Help it to be vibrant in you. Spirit of God, pour over us a vibrancy and a love that we've never known. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.